You're talking about not so eating,
yeah,
because you're going to have good energy because you know, you're hungry. But you have stuff with you, including sugar of many varieties.
Well, that's exactly the point, is I've skipped lunch until now. So I've come in here hungry for the podcast.
Hungry and just sugared up.
And I've got terrible food choices in front of me.
Yeah, so. Although I love Coke Zero. I'm a big fan now.
It's fantastic.
It's the best diet
soda. It's fantastic. That's the beginning of the episode.
It's awesome.
It just did it.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah.
Hey, welcome to episode 4 of Play This Podcast. I'm Carl Sudella.
I'm Jason Cross.
Today we have our guest usual, Mr. Alex Waro.
Hey, guys.
That's my new nickname for you. It's guest usual.
I like it.
I like it.
What is the best thing you played this week?
Probably Guild Wars 2.
Ooh, that's harkening back to, what, is it episode 2 we talked about?
Maybe episode 1, I don't remember.
Okay.
We've done 4 episodes, I can't remember them.
We'll talk about that in a little bit. But first, Mr. Dan Morin's here.
Hi, how's it going, guys?
Hey, good. All the way from Boston.
Yeah, I'm here just dropping by, you know, just for the podcast, really.
Wow,
yeah.
Did you really?
All the way over. I'm dedicated like that.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
That's true.
We had only like, what, 3 episodes.
There was
you're
a
dedicated.
Little thing with Apple this week.
Yeah, it wasn't
that's
important.
Right,
this was really
here.
The marquee
this
attraction
is the real,
for me.
Okay.
The real deal.
What's one of the things that you played that you like a lot?
A game called Diaspora, which is a PC/Mac/Linux game.
Is that how you say it?
That's how I...
Diaspora?
Diaspora. A diaspora is a... No, it's a spreading out. Like the Jewish diaspora, the African diaspora.
Right. I saw you writing
cultural
about that.
Up in here.
I'm a scholar.
I thought it was like the defunct social network, and I was like, why has he been?
It was also a defunct social network. But this is a game. This is a game based on Battlestar Galactica. Actually.
Yeah. Oh man, we're gonna talk about that. Hey, Jason, what else do we have on the show today?
We're gonna talk about Wonder Putt.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, Wonder Putt's pretty cool, actually. And we're talking about a movie called Side by Side.
Yes.
That was another one of your
little
topics.
Cool.
We're going to talk about Syphil and Ollie, which is my favorite.
This is an awesome show, how many things we're talking about.
David,
yeah.
Show
great.
Me that. I'm super excited about that.
Oh, it's already
Ollie, Syphil and Ollie Show.
That's awesome.
Motherfucker.
Whoa, not that yet.
I hit the button.
Oh, that's a preview.
Pie.
Good job, by the way, Cross. That's a preview of what's going to happen
in the future. I fat-fingered
the
button. And,
it's fine. So, they're going to be excited. What is that song? And they'll know later.
It is, it's a pie song from their preview thing.
Syphil and Ollie.
We'll talk about that later.
That very episode sparked a huge discussion among my friend group for at least 45 minutes about the merits of pie versus cake.
Yes.
That's an important discussion.
Let's table that. That's important.
Let's table that.
Yes.
Yeah. What else we got?
Alex wants to talk about Super Hexagon.
Yeah. Oh, we can. Yeah, we
that'd
should.
Be fun.
Yeah. And the first time he's ever listened to an audiobook.
So I didn't have a lot of new things that you guys hadn't talked about already.
It doesn't have to be new.
In fact, well, great, because I listened to an audiobook for the first time.
Yeah.
So
what are those things?
Let's start with that.
Deaf people from 1975. Audiobooks are pretty great. I was surprised.
What?
I'm sorry, not deaf people, blind people.
Right. Got it.
Also deaf people,
check.
If you can hear me.
If you can hear me.
It sucks that you can't.
Oh. This whole show is gushed off the rails already.
I'm really hungry.
Should we just start with the audiobook then?
Yeah.
Explain yourself.
We're talking about this. So you've never listened to an audiobook before today.
No, I always thought they were for sissies.
All right.
Whoa, just calling out. Audible. This show is not brought to you by audible.com.
No, this is a great thing. I want to come on to the public and make a mea culpa. When I was younger, a friend of mine refused to read books. But he would listen to audiobooks while playing World of Warcraft. And I thought he was a huge sissy.
Okay.
A sissy and a fool, like a carpetbagger and a vagabond, bar none.
Really? He was just multitasking.
Yeah, well, exactly. So it turns out that audiobooks are pretty great. And if you are turning up your nose at audiobooks like I did until this week, you are wrong.
So what's the book that you listen to?
I listen to The City in the City by China Miéville.
It's a good book.
It's quite a good book.
Excellent book.
And here's what's important I learned about audiobooks. They're excellent if you listen to plot-driven books, like a Harry Potter book, like a China Miéville book. I think maybe like a David Foster Wallace book would be better appreciated in print.
That might throw you for a bit of a loop as you're listening to it.
So I listen to they have clips of this, you know, preview clips and stuff like that, and I have a little bit of it because I listened to it and I was like, this is not. I didn't think it was a really great audiobook, but of course maybe I didn't hear the whole story or something.
Mm-hmm.
But just it in the sense of not really being able to tell who's talking, and it's all sound the same. Here's a little example from the clip they have.
Here's an example.
I really felt I should call film on the phone and say I've met someone. Because I really thought, okay, this is the future.
The issue is
that's the wrong thing. That's
yeah, what, yeah, what that, is that? That's very strange.
We need to start this whole damn podcast over.
No, we can't. Everything's live. We do it live. The audience likes to know that we're vulnerable.
That was the wrong thing. This is the thing.
That we're incompetent.
No, that's the wrong way to say it. That we're just regular humans like them.
Right.
Fallible.
And these are the finders? I nodded at the guarded kids. There were two girls, two guys, mid-teens, cold, looking down. Yeah, chewers. Early morning pick you up. That's dedication, hmm?
Is there two people talking there?
There are.
Now, is the chewers, that one, a different voice?
Yeah, so I think he's actually talking to a female, which is that lighter voice. I don't remember.
Shouldn't it have been chewers?
That's very early. That's like the second chapter.
One person doing the reading,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
right. It's not a dramatization. It's an audiobook, yeah.
So right, and it's, narrator. And it's, so it's just one narrator, and I can't always tell when he's reading the text parts or when he's reading the quotes of what people are saying in the book.
That's totally like understandable.
And I've heard audiobooks where they do like a much better job of that kind of thing.
Sometimes they do a parenthetical sort of he said or something, because that's not often written. Like sometimes you have exchanges of dialogue in books that aren't attributed because you just are expected to follow along.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. That's a lot harder on an audiobook.
It is. And if someone's not doing voices and stuff, right? So,
but in general, you're saying I'm pro audiobook
I'm coming around because I don't have as much time as I used to, and I'm not in as many like quiet environs where I can sit with a book and just sort of digest it.
Yeah.
And I actually, but I spend a lot of time at the gym or like walking through the city, and times are like doing chores that I could be listening to something and sort of picking up the story. And so while it's not great for like the kind of book where you want to sit and pore over the pages and appreciate the wordplay, if you just want like a cool story, pick up a plot-driven book like a China Miéville book or any kind of like genre fiction, like a Chabon or something.
If you have a long drive or a long flight.
Yeah.
Like I used to have long drives when I went to college, because I would drive back home and it was like an 8-hour drive.
Mm-hmm. Jeez.
I used to use audio, well, I didn't go every weekend or anything like that, but you know, you go every other month or something, you drive back home, and it was long drives, and an audiobook makes it all go pretty quick.
Yeah, and that's even better because if you're driving for a long time, you have, I feel like if you're a good driver, fewer distractions. Whereas like the nice thing about and why I recommend a plot-driven book is that you can like, you can talk to somebody or pull an earbud out or go do something, and then like you can phase out of the story for a couple of sentences and not really need to – you can catch yourself back up pretty quickly.
So are you going to say that the guy that you called a sissy – do you have his name? Can we like say we're sorry?
Tyler, I'm not really that sorry because you're still kind of a sissy.
Sorry.
But I was wrong.
You were wrong.
I was deeply wrong.
You're wrong about
the audiobooks.
You
probably should have read Harry Potter. It was a pretty good series.
All right. What else? What's next? That's over. The sissy –
yeah, let's talk about Wonder Putt.
This is over. Wonder Putt.
What is this?
This is a miniature golf game, kind of, for the iOS devices. It's kind of a mini golf game.
It's new to iOS devices. It was a flash game.
Right, it was a flash game, yeah. And then they released the iOS/iPad version, which iPad version on the new iPad looks
beautiful.
We'll have a link to it in the show notes.
Show notes.
Because it's at this weird dampnat.com/WonderPutt.
Yeah, but it's in the store.
You can play on Kongregate and stuff. You can play the flash version. It won art awards in the independent game.
It's a beautiful game, and it's basically like 18 holes of mini golf in one image. So it's one image. It's kind of like a bunch of little different sections.
Yeah. And it's all that weird three-quarter perspective.
Three-quarter
pixel
perspective,
art.
Almost pixel art. Yeah, pixel art, but really smooth pixel art.
Yeah.
And very what's cool detailed. Is that each hole is really, really small because it's a small, you know, real estate. The physics are pretty darn good with the ball. And after you finish each hole, the world animates around. Like, so one area is like this grassy area. When you've got the ball in the hole, these alien spaceship comes by and picks up all the cows and terraforms the earth, and it changes a whole other thing. Water comes in.
And then that's the next hole. Right.
So basically it animates this like image in this little mini world and makes new holes out of the existing image.
Yeah. So you see this image and you go, so the next hole's over there on that big pile of dirt, and you don't know like until you finish the previous hole, then something will happen on that big pile of dirt and change it into the hole you're going to play.
But like really complex things happen. Like doors open up and this weird skeleton face comes out and you're like, whoa, this is intense and funny too.
And funny. And it's a fun little, you know.
It's a fun little romp. My two qualms with it is one, it's 18 holes and that's it. And it's one image, 18 holes. It's very cool how you get to all those holes, but then that's it, right? No other
courses. Not a lot of replayability.
There is replayability because there's cool like pickups and there's rainbow power-ups and stuff. And there's things that you want to do better, and it's game center, so you want to do, you know, better than
your
friends.
Any mini golf, you're trying to get a lower score.
Trying to do better. But there's definitely – and there's, like, achievements and stuff. But the big thing is that they do some really cool things where they take you out of that world for a minute. There's, like, a spoiler. Wonder Putt spoiler. You're looking for a sound?
I have a spoiler klaxon, but it's wonderful. I think we can it's just wonder, do the wonderful spoiler.
There's a missile at some point in the game. The missile, all of a sudden, it goes to another screen, and now you're not on the screen with that whole world. You're inside the missile, and you're mini-golfing inside the missile.
Oh, right, yeah.
Now, if they did that more often, like that cow, like you know, I don't know, splice apart the cow and play mini-golf on the cow, that'd be gross. But something like that, like they did that only once in the whole game. And that was so
it's
fun and cool.
It's labor-intensive to make that, so it's I'm sure.
Yeah, but come on. That's not
so
an
excuse. What we need is, you know, Wonder Putt 2 with Wonder another Putt 2. 18 holes of golf with a new image and all new
or
stuff.
Or just Wonder Putt added levels, please. Yeah. Please something bring me
golf
that.
Games, man. I still be playing Super Stickman Golf. You ever play that?
Oh, yeah.
That game's awesome. I heard they're coming out with a sequel, I think, in a
My girlfriend's
a couple
so
weeks.
Good at that
golf
game.
Golf is just so fun. Like mini
I never,
golf?
I never played like actual golf. Mini golf, sure.
Mini golf is fun, yeah.
I don't know about actual golf. There's a lot of walking. A lot of walking and actual golf.
It's fun. Like playing regular golf is fun. I can't watch it on TV. It looks like the most boring thing.
Oh, yeah. We're not
when you're
TV.
Actually playing it out there on the field, it's pretty fun.
This must be, like you said, it won art awards. This is a beautiful freaking game.
It really
it's just
really
artistically
is.
Amazing looking. Especially that they can fit
Are you
so much
it now?
In.
So I want you, Alex well, has got his phone.
He's
so,
about to play it.
Well, I want to look up how much it costs, but also, like, I'm looking at the screenshots.
Oh, it was $1.
And I got to say, like, maybe I'm just in a different place right now. I'm a little. Little lightheaded, but like listeners, maybe you're having trouble picturing this game in your mind because I was. But
oh,
I opened
from
it up.
What I just said, it's hard to explain. Yeah.
So it's over at dampnat.com. Just look it up because it looks amazing.
Yeah.
/ Wonderputt.
Anyways, get it, and I wish there was more holes.
Right.
All right, let's do a Dan thing.
Yeah, Dan,
what is
talk
Diaspora?
About
Diaspora? Diaspora is a game. So let me ask you, you ever play the classic LucasArts X-Wing or TIE Fighter?
Yeah. Of course.
Yes. Okay, so basically imagine the same exact game, but in the Battlestar Galactica universe, where you're flying like a fighter, and you fly around and shoot things and
new
go on
Battlestar
missions and stuff
Galactica,
like that.
Right?
Yeah, the new one.
Okay. Is this that MMO?
It's not an MMO.
No,
it's
not.
It's a total. It's a, like a flight sim, basically.
I think that MMO guy can.
Yeah,
yeah. And there's also was it Big Fish? Not Big Fish. Big Something Games was working on a Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah, there were a couple, but I mean the show ended, and then you know, so I think it was left in limbo. But this is really cool. This is entirely open source, and it's made by fans. And so I think it's you know clearly a Battlestar Galactica game, but they're just like shifting things enough for being oblique about things that you know not to get sued or something like that. Though it does mention like Cylons and all that stuff. But you basically are in the role. Of like a rookie pilot who's on, you know, you start out in sort of training missions or whatever, and you go through and you have to get in engagements and fight things. And it's just, it's one of those flight sims that I loved when I was a kid. I loved X-Wing and TIE Fighter. And this is pretty much, to my mind, looks almost like a carbon copy down to like the extremely complicated control schemes, the whole three-dimensional like fighter space combat thing.
It's got the music from Battlestar, which seems cool.
It's,
or at least
it's very,
similar.
Yeah, it's very similar.
Music.
I mean, they've definitely, and it's got like full voices and stuff like that and briefings and voice acting and all that stuff. Like it's clearly like, and it's all free because it's all open source and it runs on Windows, PCs, and Macs and Linux. So I installed it and was playing around with it. And the only downside from my perspective is that it strikes me as the thing that you really need like a joystick for in order to fully get the whole deal of it. So I have
see
to,
that brings me right around to Freelancer and the
which was Freelancer.
So
nice.
Chris Roberts, the guy who made like Wing Commander and those games, and a couple other things, but and then also did a terrible Wing Commander movie action
with Freddie Prinze
and stuff like that.
That has a whole podcast just
I
by talking about the movie.
How bad
what? I was 15, whatever.
Remember they
jumped and everything froze and they did the spin around?
Yeah, that
was
great. So terrible.
It was so great.
The pinging in space, it was really bad.
Off topic.
He also started a company called Digital Anvil for a while and then made a space sim that was like the old Privateer game and stuff called Freelancer, which is the, you know, there's a storyline to play through, but also there's just this whole open universe you can go do and you run missions and make money and upgrade your ship with it and everything. And it was made to be played primarily with a mouse and keyboard because at that point, you know, PC gaming gotten to the point where everyone was playing mouse and keyboard games. Joystick sales had plummeted. People weren't buying joysticks anymore. And it worked. Like everybody thought, no, there's no way. But you could, it was actually really, really great. It played beautifully with a mouse and keyboard by changing up the way that things worked a little bit.
Was that like a three-dimensional game or was it?
Yeah, it was like first-person 3D in the cockpit flying around with your mouse and keyboard or third-person like sort of behind your ship wanted, like, you know, you could do. It was wonderful and it was brilliant and it turned out to be a great game too, just besides just the controls working well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And people did these awesome mods where they did Star Wars with it and everything and you could run multiplayer servers. reason I bring him up
is... I was going to say, because open source and MSR? No.
No, because he has a new site called, was it something, Chris Roberts Space or something like that. I can't remember. He's working on a new game. He's gone back to gaming. He's working on a new game. He hasn't revealed what it is yet.
Yeah.
But there's like a little like concept art picture and stuff like that. Mm. And it looks like Privateer or something. It's like a ship in a dock. Kind of thing, you know.
Not enough good space games anymore.
No,
not
there
enough
isn't.
Good space sim games. And and there's the ones that there are sometimes like oddly complicated and don't get to the part that I like, which is the action of dogfighting plus all the sort of like trading selling.
Stuff. Star.
The part I miss, and tell me if this is in Diaspora or not, is do I ever have to like reroute power to shields? Or do I ever have to?
There's stuff like that. You have like a whole throttle controls and everything. Yeah, I love
that.
I mean,
the best.
Overcomplicated.
I used to love that. I used to play with my friend because it would take two of us to work all the damn controls for the entire thing.
Oh, Carlos, it's so great. You got to like fly in and then cut thrusters and
I know.
Roll.
I used to play.
Awesome.
Listen, I used to play Star Trek, the board game. Whoa. All right, I know about.
Yeah,
taking thrusters and shields.
Have any of you guys
and played
the Battlestar Galactica board game?
No, we all want to. All of us are talking about it.
Yeah.
One more last thing. The Battlestar thing. Yeah. Is there a one-player game in that at all, or no?
It's just one player and multiplayer.
But I mean, is there a story?
Yeah. There's a campaign. They're able to do a campaign
without the characters. It's kind of.
I don't think it has the actual characters, but you're basically kind of on the sidelines of the sort of the whole plot of the thing.
Because
it starts out with the same thing about like no one's seen the Cylon in some 40 years,
and then you're
set out on like a training mission, and you're testing all the new ships, which eventually get like screwed up when the Cylons invade. So I haven't gotten very far in it is the thing. So I don't know how the campaign goes, but it clearly has some sort of story behind
That's
it.
That's cool, yeah. It basically sounds like you're playing one of those extras then. You're like, that guy in the background.
I hope I don't die 15 minutes in. That would really suck. Right.
Okay, cool. That's in school. Check it out.
Yeah.
We'll put in the show notes.
Yeah, so not to take a complete left turn from video games.
No, let's do that.
Let's talk about Syphil and Ollie.
Because you already teased it.
I teased it. I hit the wrong button and everything. Syphil and Ollie was a show like 10, 12 years ago on MTV.
That long ago?
Yeah, it was really that long ago.
I never saw this show.
We're old, he's young.
It was done by Liam Lynch, who's a musical comedian guy who has worked with a bunch of folks, you know, since then and everything. And it was like sock puppets with like glue on eyes and everything in front of a terrible green screen. And they... You know, it was sort of a talk show. They brought on guests and they talked to them and they had weird characters and funny voices. And they always came up with songs because he was, you know, like a...
Well, he's a song man too, that guy.
Yeah, he's a musical writer and stuff. And it's been off the air forever. And I always remember it really fondly, you know, because it would come on really late at night, like Liquid TV when I was on MTV.
Like rude but funny and cool MTV shows.
Yeah.
Were
on super, super late.
Super, super late. Like Liquid Television, right?
Right.
And the AM Flux and stuff.
All that stuff. Yeah, yeah. So it was part of all that. And I thought it was great. And they've been gone forever. Then all of a sudden on the YouTube Machinima channel.
Yes.
They're starting a new show where they review video games.
But fake video games, not real
fake
ones.
Fake video games. Real
which is
reviews
better,
of fake video
better,
games.
I think.
So it's the same thing with the same theme song and the same sock puppets. In fact, they ran a promo video where Ollie tries to convince Syphil to do the show with them. Like, let's do a show again.
And he's like, it's easy as pie. And there comes the song.
He goes, he's like, I don't know, man.
I don't know.
Motherfucking pie.
It's catchy, and it's got all this trippy stuff happening on the screen. And then, all right,
let's be a little bit critical for a minute.
Yeah.
And that previous fun, everybody go look at it. It's fun.
Previous layers.
I watched episode one.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh wait, the one with the rump shaker.
Yes.
Slap that.
Oh my God.
We can't say. Can we say? Do we decide if we can?
Don't spoil it.
Ass.
Don't spoil it.
Yeah.
All right.
So, I'm editing this. It doesn't matter.
Right. I got to say, and
that's spoiler? You're saying it's a spoiler that the video game is called?
It's funny when you don't know and you just see the setup of they're going to come show us.
We need a spoiler sound effect.
Kinetic game. We have a warning. We have a klaxon.
Can you hear it?
People.
I just want to hear it.
We're diving into spoiler territory.
Talk about spoilers.
Batting the hatches.
What were you going to say, Alex, about the episode?
I saw it at a friend's house. A previous guest of the... podcast, David Daw, who writes for Tech Hive.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
And he pointed out when he showed it to us that this is a really great way for them to address contemporary video game critical culture without, like, being too obvious about it.
Mm-hmm. Right. So they that was great. They
no, it's cool.
They make fun of video game demos.
Oh, I like the concept a lot. I mean, yeah. I love it. You know, I'm actually working on a show, which we'll talk about sometime, about video games and making fun of them. I love that. It's fun. Yeah. But just for some reason, it fell a little flat, the episode one. I like the old guy, though. I like the old guy.
Yeah.
What's the old
Precious
guy?
Roy?
Yeah, Precious Roy.
Precious Roy's great.
I love him.
Another character from the old show.
Yeah, I remember him.
I guess
so it's just the old show, but it's
back.
It's still a pro for me, yes.
You might be right, because it resonates with me more because I've been in demos, like in the course of my job, that were very much like what they're making fun of.
Oh, yeah,
so
yeah.
So I wonder,
yeah,
like,
the
maybe...
guy with the headset on.
I like the guy with the headset.
Going
yeah.
through a script that he's prepared one too many times about this game that he's
playing. Oh, right, I like it.
He's way too excited about hitting his features. He's like, oh, my God,
I mean, I
you.
Do. All right, watch it. It's it's great. It's great. Yeah.
So Syphilinolly's back, and I'm super excited.
On Machinimal.
And pie.
Machinimal.
Cake is way better than pie.
We're really going to go down that right now?
Yeah.
I would agree.
Thank
cake?
Right,
wait, right, wait. Yeah. I think we're all going to agree, actually, because I say cake, too.
We're going around the table. Alex, cake or pie?
Cake.
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 Yeah, I think I'm going with cake, too.
Good, then it's over.
The
we don't have
the problem has been solved. There can be peace in our time.
Which is not to say that
although,
I don't like pie.
We could say what kind of cake, because Black Forest right here.
Chocolate
what?
Cake.
Isn't that,
chocolate.
Isn't that
chocolate,
ham?
Like, it's chocolate chocolate.
Chocolate with cherries, though,
No. Don't mess up my chocolate.
It's chocolate, yeah.
Chocolate frosting.
I would go back to chocolate just so we could be agreed, because I love chocolate.
I'm thinking ice cream cake.
It's not really cake. It's ice cream.
And cake.
I need ice cream cake to be cake because that is the only way my girlfriend and I can get married. Because she's pie and I'm cake and I'm like, we're having a wedding cake. She's like, we're having a wedding pie. And I'm like, we can't have both.
Pie isn't ice cream though.
No.
No, but you can have an ice cream pie.
What?
I never heard of this either.
No, you can't do that.
Yeah, you can.
My mind is just...
She found a place she can buy it.
Welcome to the Playlist Podcast, where we talk about digital entertainment and pie
and cake
and ice cream.
Ice cream variants thereof. So apparently they make a ice cream pumpkin pie where like the crust is like an ice cream cake crust, and then like, they fill a pumpkin ice cream.
I remember that.
And I was saying we have a wedding cake that's alternatively different levels, cake and pie.
Okay, fine. That's all great.
Cake pie.
Now I want pie and cake.
Right.
Let's stop because we're both hungry.
Or I'm going to hit that sample again.
Side note, you did not eat before coming on the podcast.
No.
Because you wanted to have energy. Because the last few podcasts, maybe lethargic could be a word to describe you.
I've been uninvolved.
And now you're just
uninterested, you might say. But not this time.
Whoa.
Disinterested.
I've got this fire. I'm ready.
Let's talk about Hexagon,
okay.
Alex.
That game's all right.
Super Hexagon.
All right,
super,
guys.
Yeah, but there was no Hexagon, was there?
So Syphilinolly is great. Super Hexagon, not so great. Yep. I'm going to say it out there. But now, I brought it up because a lot of people are talking about it. It's big in the gaming press right now. I downloaded it. It's on your iOS device. It's like 99 cents on sale. It's typically $2.99. What it is, it's an improved version of a game called Hexagon, developed by Terry Cavanaugh.
There was Hexagon.
And that was released for free. This is for pay. And it's sort of hard
how much
to describe.
Pay?
Just a dollar.
$2.99 total.
$3.
It's on sale right now for a dollar.
Yeah, I have it. Yeah.
All right.
You can get it on your iPhone or your iPad. It's a game where you basically, it's very minimalist, like some crazy chiptune soundtrack plays, and you're a little triangle.
Oh,
spinning.
I love the chiptunes. I got to sample the chiptunes because they're awesome.
Great. Faded in just...
You won't hear them very long.
Yeah.
Well, exactly.
The game is short.
The game is super hard. The game, the opening difficulty is hard, and it doesn't get lower than that.
No,
and
it's just hard.
It just gets harder.
Okay. And it's like, what do you, like, dodge the things that come into
I've been trying to
hexes,
work out how
right?
to describe this. So, like, basically, it's a coruscating monochromatic screen. We have, like, a big flashing, like, what looks like a tunnel made out of, like, reds,
hexes.
Darker. Yeah, basically, yeah. Like
but
darker.
That's just for show, really.
Right, because around the center is a tiny triangle, and you are navigating that triangle left and right around the center, kind of like Tempest, but you're in the middle, not at the edges.
Right.
And there are, like, walls coming down in different patterns and shapes, and you need to move your little dude to evade the walls.
Right.
It's like the worst level in Battletoads that never ends.
So there's,
but it's 2D, right? So it looks 3D, but it's basically just 2D
it's
walls
like all pulsing
that
way,
you're walking or you're trying to get around.
It's neat, and you know, I mean, for 99 cents, it's fun, but it's not a.
So the chiptunes are really great, though. They're by some artist named Chip Zell who does like stuff with Game Boys and stuff. He's got them for sale. It's like four tracks in this game, and he's got them for sale for £3, I think he's British, so which just seems like way too much for a four-song soundtrack. But they sound
you're
really
playing
cool.
Some of
they
it.
Sound really cool. Check this out.
Okay. And then the game's over.
Yeah.
Because this game lasts for 3 or 4 seconds sometimes.
There's
my high score, just so you know, and we're going to ask Alex's, 8 seconds and what, 27?
No.
Hundreds of a second?
It's got to be
it
higher
goes 8, 27.
It's got to be eight,
yeah,
and 2700s.
I mean, I just tried it before.
Okay,
it
me too.
Here.
Yeah,
and you start getting better at it, but like, what's your high score then?
Mine's like 6.5.
Wait, 6.5 seconds.
But I played like 3 times.
Wait, but I only played it a few times. Oh, I guess.
Well, then you are obviously
maybe better than you at 2 seconds.
Maybe it's actually a great game and you guys just haven't gotten
the
groove.
That's the thing. Like,
no. Here's the thing.
This is not an exhaustive review. We've played a couple of seconds, but it's designed to be
it
played
is an exhaustive
for a
review.
Couple of seconds.
We played at least 5 seconds total. No, eight. Wait,
we played 14 seconds total.
Yeah. Here's the thing with this game, okay? One, I love it because it's Madden and you're like, oh, whatever. I'm going to do this again. You keep playing.
Yeah.
You do that. One weird thing, I keep ending on 8 seconds and 27. What is 27ths of a second?
Hundredths.
Yeah.
Hundredths. Okay.
Yeah.
So 8 and 27 hundredths of a second. I keep ending on the exact one. That's a little suspicious to me.
Well, the game's trying to tell you something.
That's exactly how long the game is. You've beaten it.
Oh, yeah, okay. Done. Easy. Yeah, right. Second thing is, there's a game called the Impossible Game. Remember that? Do you ever played it? The Impossible Game?
No,
oh, it's
that.
Also maddening. Now you're going to go look at it and just, I'm sorry for what I just did. But it's what the same thing with Impossible Game in this game is, and you'll probably appreciate this, is that it's just the controllers are bad. Like you can just go left and right.
Wrong.
There's no smooth.
You're wrong.
No.
I mean, I appreciate where you're coming from.
Impossible Game, you can only do one button. It just jump and there's no physics to it. It's just like, I just hope you get it right, you know? And this one is the one like left and right, but there's a little bit of a gap in between the left and right.
Uh-huh.
So there's no smooth movement. Mm. It's just like jump left, jump right. And if you jump left too much, like then the walls hit you and you're done.
I see.
I feel like the control is weird.
It's digital. It's on off, not analog.
It's on off. Exactly. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
So that's a valid complaint. I didn't have that problem. My problem is that, and tying it back to our discussion of 10 million a few weeks ago, I hate games that don't end. Like, I need a game that has an ending. And as far as I can tell, it might have an ending, but it doesn't present you with one.
Well, at the end, your triangle meets another triangle, and together you become a hexagon.
Oh, that would be
sweet.
A good ending.
Oh, story, really.
It's like Pac-Man.
Yeah, exactly.
No,
do we have
play.
That song?
No.
No.
I didn't know in my psychic brain that you were going to talk about.
I know.
I only have the sound of Pac-Man dying.
Shucks.
Wait, you do have that sound effect?
I do have that.
real quick segue. I started playing 10 million finally because I got my new fancy iPad.
Real quicker, even more segue. I finally saw a segue yesterday.
What?
I did.
You just did a segue off my segue about a segue.
They're great.
Yo,
some
dog.
Guy was going like 20 miles an hour on Second
Yo, dog,
Street.
I heard you like segues. So.
Yo, dog.
And suddenly what's fun about with segues is jousting on them. I've done that once.
That sounds
very
my friend had one when he was working at a startup like 10 years ago. They had one. And we rode around
wins.
His offices.
And no one gets hurt, right?
Many people get hurt.
That sounds fantastic.
So have you played 10 million?
I have not.
Okay. So anyways, I'm with you guys. I love it. It's fun. I like the fact that there isn't actually any. And the upgrading and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
you feel like
listeners,
you just have
go
to play again.
Go play. Yeah, you do.
Every time you're done playing, you're like, well, I'm just going to do it one more time because now I got that upgrade.
It's basically like a three-of-a-kind game, but with RPG, it's great.
Oh, okay.
iOS.
Yeah.
All right. What should we talk about next?
Side by Side.
Side by Side.
That
movie
that you got real jazzed about.
Yeah.
What
is that?
So this is a documentary. Keanu Reeves, weirdly, like executive produced.
I've heard about this.
He's also the host. Mm-hmm. They talk about a bunch of directors, talk with directors about film versus digital, but they really don't like go down that path of like which one's better because, I mean, digital's happening. It's going to be, you know, the future. And you can still use film along with it. It's more about just like how, you know, the process happened, how it started, watching people when they first had to edit films with like, you know, the little tape and the splicing of stuff. No. So it was really just fun to get the history.
It's kind of about how digital is changing film. And
yeah, and then to see some stuff side by side. Really, they don't do side by side digital film, but they do show things digital and then in film. It's just really cool to hear all the different directors. I mean, they talk to, you know, indie people like Lena Dunham from Girls and Linklater and stuff, but then they also talk to James Cameron. And
you know, Chris Nolan was in it too.
Chris
right?
Nolan's in right. it, yeah. And just hear their perspective like about film in general is going
to
be a great
Well, it's time. Fascinating to watch the two things because I just went last week, I saw the Raiders of the Lost Ark re-release in IMAX.
Oh, yeah.
On digital, which was not, it's not quite the same. It's like, this is a little something. It feels a little off. It's a great sound mix. The sound mix was awesome, but the picture is just not quite right.
Did they just scan the old film?
It's pretty
and
much just
it
they didn't
blow it up.
Yeah, I mean, it's not really anything's altered in it. I think they just remastered it for the digital.
Right.
But the sound mix, they did a lot of great work on in it. Like, I heard stuff that I had not heard, and I've seen that movie.
You're like, this sounds great.
I love that.
Well, yeah. I never sit there in a theater with like seven speakers, you know, listening 700 speakers, whatever, listening to Raiders of the Lost Ark, whatever.
Yeah.
I just got stereo speakers at home. I'm lame.
Yeah. Well, it was definitely cool to show also how the, you know, the editing changed. And when you heard people talk about the digital editing, you would think that in a movie like that, they'd be like, oh, now it's all that, you know? But they were like, no, it actually, you know, gives you a whole new way to create. And it wasn't like just poo-pooing the idea that we're all digital now. It just says like, oh, wow, this is great. Like, we have so many more opportunities and things to do. And, you know, edits take a lot quicker.
Yeah.
I mean, instead of like, you know, days and days, it's like could be done with something in a few hours.
Here's a couple directors talking from the trailer.
I never know what you have.
I really felt I should call film on the phone and say I've met someone. Because I really thought, okay, this is the future.
The issue is it's different. How is it different than how do you use it to tell a story? It's up to the filmmaker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go get it. And sidebysidethemovie.com, but also, this is an interesting side note, tangent.
This was never in theaters, was it?
Never in theaters. Right. Direct to digital, VOD, as they call it nowadays.
Yeah.
It's on Amazon Instant Video, Vudu, or iTunes. My perplexity with it is I wanted to own this. Only rental.
It's only rental, yeah.
Weird.
Don't like that.
Only
you can only buy it on film.
Yeah, you can only buy it. That would be kind of cool. But no, I mean, come on, guys, right? Like, I'm going to spend $7. Why not just spend another $7 and have it forever?
Yeah. Hmm. Like, I think it's something like $4 for a 3-day rental on Amazon. Or
mine was six. It was six on Amazon Instant Video.
Oh, maybe on HD.
HD, yeah.
Something.
Yeah.
And there's it's not playing anywhere. You can just stream it as part of your subscription.
Yeah, I think they are doing some theater, like a limited theater run.
No. I mean, like Netflix or something where you don't have to rent it. It's part of your. So they're not doing any of that yet.
No, it's just.
Maybe later.
Separate. Single. But I would recommend it. I mean, just as a documentary alone. And actually, another segue.
How long is it?
Not even 2 hours, probably.
An hour and a half, something like that?
Yeah, an hour and a half, hour 40.
Okay.
A separate segue is also I'm doing a lot of documentary watching right now. And on Netflix, though, streaming, again, not for free, but if you have a subscription for free, is a Woody Allen documentary. It's just called Woody Allen Documentary, Part 1 and 2. Brilliant.
Where does it document?
Brilliant. It documents Woody Allen.
Sweet.
Was that the one that was on? PBS or whatever? The American Masters.
It might have been American Masters. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that it aired like last year or something.
Similar to the.
I heard it was really good.
It's so good. Similar to what?
The Johnny Carson one we just saw. Is that?
It's better
series?
Because it's longer. It's two parts, and each part is like a full movie.
Okay.
I mean, it's epic. And again, storytelling and actors and great stories inside
Can I interject? Can I hop on a segue?
You can interject, Alex Warrow.
And take it down the street to get some recommendations on good Woody Allen movies, because I've seen one.
Well, you know what? If you watch that documentary, you learn about all of them. Ones you probably want to watch.
I don't want to look at any Hall's answer. I want from my trusted friends and associates.
Okay.
I
would throw out Sleeper.
Okay.
Sleeper's a great one. Science fiction one where he basically wakes up like it's kind of like a Rip Van Winkle style.
Yeah,
like wakes up way in the future. Right.
Bananas
Sleeper. Is excellent.
Yeah, Bananas and Sleeper are the two main ones.
Annie Hall.
Okay. Annie Hall.
Everyone says Annie Hall is the
Because Annie Hall is different. It's a different take
it's
on it. It's
very.
More...
It's not as quite off like a just like surreal like comedy sketch almost. It's more. It has more of a story and it's more of a drama and it's a really, really well made movie.
It's the first time he did that with his muse. You know, that's like Diane Keaton.
Yep.
And so then they went out to do a lot of other films together, and there's the whole Sissy Spacek era.
Right.
But yeah, there's plenty of good movies. Manhattan's really good because it's beautiful.
I actually really liked
it's a love letter to New York City.
Midnight in Paris, the recent one.
Oh, yeah.
That one was actually really good.
I heard it grossed the most like money any Woody Allen film ever.
Yeah, he doesn't make blockbusters.
He doesn't make
blockbusters,
but this one was.
That's a good one. I really
liked
it.
Owen Wilson.
That was a nice movie.
So, okay, so you got that. It's a Sleeper,
okay.
Bananas, Annie Hall. Manhattan, I think, for just visual aspect alone, black and white, and
Midnight in Paris.
Did you write all those down?
Yes.
You did not.
I totally did.
Is that like half his movies?
No.
No, he's
not. He's done like 40 movies or something.
He's
like movie every year.
Yeah.
Sorry, that was my last thing, I think.
Thanks, guys.
I'd have no recommendations. I haven't seen a lot of Woody Allen movies, and I'm not like the world's biggest fan that I would be able to say this one's better than the other.
I wasn't as until I saw that documentary, really. It kind of reminded me how I'm like, wow. I was more impressed after the documentary.
Hmm.
Sometimes you need that.
Yeah. Do you know Woody Allen is an accomplished clarinetist?
Yes, that's in the documentary.
Clarinetist? Is that how he says it?
I don't think that's how you say it.
Clarinetist.
I think that they work with like subatomic particles or something.
Yeah. Clarinetist.
Subatomic clarinet.
Yeah.
Quantum
very,
clarinetist.
Very small
a quantum clarinet. What would that do? Go. Anyone?
It makes a sound that breaks the universe.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Doesn't make any sound.
Yeah, the sound is, well, the sound could be anything you want.
Quantum instruments are all string instruments.
Oh, there. Where is it? You're going to say that and not do your drum thing?
Oh, we do have a rim shot, don't we?
No, let's do it again. Off it. Let's do it again. Just go ahead. Say the joke.
Quantum instruments are all string instruments.
I had less pizzazz.
It's, yeah, it's yeah, not it's good not. The second time. I totally forgot I had that sound effect.
Okay,
I'm
guess
not
what?
Good at that.
You're not.
There's no way to fix that in post.
We're wrapping this up because it's 46 minutes, but...
Oh, yes. It's not 46 minutes.
It is, isn't it? Oh, we're at 38. Okay, we're close.
Oh,
we're fine.
My God.
Borderlands 2 we were talking about before the podcast.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm going to finally get it because of this one thing.
Get it on PC.
I can't.
See?
God.
He's already got his... Oh, I'm sorry. You've already got your group together, though. So I am... Pat and I are going to get it on PC, but you guys, you already have a foursome.
But we're going out of town, so we're not going to be together all the time.
Hmm.
Anyways,
you can play with Nate and Julie and stuff.
Well,
I already bought a four-pack for
our own group.
Xbox?
Xbox 360.
Yeah. Xbox. Yeah.
Right? We were talking about it.
Yeah, I play on the 360.
Yeah, we don't need your PC.
Well, except I kind of hate controllers when I'm shooting dudes.
Yeah, well.
You get used to it. I was a diehard keyboard and mouse guy for years, and then I got a 360 about 5 years ago, and like, I've adapted.
I can't do the
mouse and keyboard thing anymore.
I'm down to play. Like, I played Halo, and I'm okay with it, but if I have the choice, I always like the keyboard better.
But then we'll just be better than you, and that'd be... Unless you're, wait,
terrible.
It's cooperative, right?
Sounds
it cooperative? It is cooperative.
Oh, there's a cool class in there, like the Siren can, like, gravitate dudes and then just lock them down. And I can just do that. Not shoot anybody, just, like, freeze them in midair.
Just do that.
And you guys can shoot them.
The reason why I'm really excited about it is Anthony Birch, I found out, wrote most of the thing.
Oh, yeah.
And he's a Hey Ash guy.
Yeah.
He works. If you guys don't know that, we say yeah, but people listening might not
know.
He
works for Gearbox now.
Now he does, but he did stuff.
Yeah, I think I read that.
His own web show called Hey Ash. You should go check it out.
Hey Ash, what you playing?
What you playing?
At HAWP.com.
There you go. Yeah. Good guy to have him in. Hilarious, funny guy.
Him and his sister do these skits. They are, and their dad's always in them and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Super funny.
And super quick and witty. So he wrote most of the script, or a lot of it.
A lot of it. He's a writer there.
And then they said there's one quest, I was telling Alex this, there's one quest in the game that's based on Top Gun. I mean, how am I not going to buy this game now? Yeah. So I'm buying it. I'm done. I'm buying
it. Quest is called Maverick!
Maverick.
I've got my 4-pack pre-order all set to go. I'm good.
Yeah, mine's arriving on Tuesday.
Well, us three will play on the 360. Will you just go? Wah, wah, wah.
I'll probably play on both.
Okay,
yeah, there you go.
Sorry, guys.
That's the podcast. Let's do the Twitters.
Yeah,
Dan, what's your Twitter?
D Morin.
That's easy enough.
Easy to remember. I'm Jason Cross 00.
He's the double zeros. Can we just say double zero?
Jason Cross double zero.
Yeah, but then people might sounds spell harder. Double zero out, and that would be tragic.
Be tragic.
That's not me. That person's would. Someone else.
The A Dubs is like I like to call him DJ A Dubs.
I'm just Awaro,
He's Awaro.
I'm boring. DJ A Dubs. I love
DJ
that.
DJ A Dubs.
We need to get a shirt for him.
Oh, terrible. Can we? Yeah. We have no budget
that's
for that.
Terrible.
No, we just buy it ourselves.
Just buy it. I am Onawa, Onawa on the Twitters. And you can email us at entertainment@techhive.com. That's it. And you can put the subject line.
Hey, here's something I like. You should like it too.
That was me giving it to Alex.
No.
Throwing to Alex.
Sorry,
Alex. Resounding success.
I will not toe the company line.
I've got nothing, so I throw it back to you.
Yeah, send us an email with your suggestions of your favorite things to play, because we could only do so much every week, and we want to hear what you think.
That's true. We're only a few men.
Right.
And
a
guest.
Very few.
Very few. That's it. Dan, any last words before you head back to Boston?
Oh, man. Can I leave now?
Jeez, that is the worst answer. And he's never coming back on the podcast.
Oh, that's good.
Give him a sound effect.
It is hot and stuffy.
Oh, we didn't talk about Apple.
That's
cool. We don't need to.
Oh, Apple.
We're going to do that in like 100 other places.
Guys, there's a new phone.
Cool.
I know.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Sound effect.
Goodbye.